Hello, welcome back. This is episode 2 of my 4-part series covering the Leica 100 celebrations. I was invited to Wetzlar at the end of June to join in the festivities and celebrate 100 years of continuous camera manufacture by Leica. In total, there are going to be 4 25-minute episodes, 100 minutes for 100 years. If you've not listened to last week, then you missed my conversation with Dr. Andreas Kaufmann, the chairman of Leica, as well as the beginning of my conversation with Mark Shippard, Leica's head of design. You can go back and find that episode in your podcast feed or pick it up on the website. This week, we'll start by rejoining the conversation with Mark and then joining my conversation with Ines Fayard, the editor-in-chief of the LFI magazine. So, let's get started. Here is the end of my chat with Mark Shippard, Leica's head of design. In previous lives, I was a project manager with design team people specifically. And so I have a armchair interest in this sort of thing. And you're right, that thing with a team, that a team can become really proficient at a specific thing. And then that's a problem because they're really good at it, but sooner or later they will be sick of it.
Yeah. And I've seen this happen in other companies as you have. And what happens is a certain stagnation, a kind of apathy, or maybe that's not the right word. Maybe the heart's not in it anymore.
Yeah.
Things will get farmed out to agencies. They just start design managing rather than design doing. We're very clearly a team of design doers.
Yes.
I'd say over 90% of the design work we're doing in-house in this team.
And yeah.
For only very specific things were involving, let's say, external consultants to help us out with something that's, let's say, out of the normal scope.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and you presumably don't want that team to get too big then, because...
No, it's now really, I think, at a very, I'd call it sustainable level.
Yeah.
Having said that, we're overall a relatively small company, like
I think. True.
We're a small company with a very big brand, if you like, and our product portfolio is quite extensive.
So
we're handling a lot of projects in this team, but that keeps it dynamic and fun.
Yeah. Well, you definitely feel, I mean, obviously I'm at the mothership right now, but you definitely feel like you command the space you occupy, as opposed to some companies that maybe don't as much. You know, it can be hard sometimes. The day job I've just left is in video games. And so you see this, I would say you're analogous to someone like a Nintendo, as opposed to, say, a Microsoft, who are, I think Xbox struggles to find its identity. And I weep for that team when I see them say things like, now everything's an Xbox. Like, well, if everything's an Xbox, nothing's an Xbox. And I think that's something that you would understand as a company, that like, not everything is a Leica camera, or not everything is an M. And that's a meaningful, and that means you will be smaller. Like we stood up this morning and celebrated 6 million cameras in 100 years. It's actually quite a small number of cameras in 100 years.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you look at it like that, if you would compare us to the industry, which, by the way, I always tell our people, at least in the design team, never do. I think we in what we do, we don't have competitors.
Yeah.
But in that respect, in terms of units produced and sold over the years, I mean, the days when compact cameras, you know, the small pocket compact cameras were big. Millions were produced.
Yeah.
In a year.
Yeah.
And it's basically what smartphone is today. So it's a pocket camera for people today. And they're also produced in crazy numbers.
Yes. Yeah, worldwide. Exactly. No, it's mad. Except I have seen one. I don't know if you've seen, there's a kind of social media TikTok trend at the moment for a sort of 5 or 6 year old point and shoot that is extremely popular. And I saw one dangling off someone's hip earlier today. It's like they've succumbed to the G7.
Yeah. That's happened in the last couple of years. That this is sort of, they've made a comeback. People have dusted them off and hope that the battery's still going to hold a bit of charge. And
I guess.
Surprisingly, a lot of them still working. And it's quite a, it's interesting trend, if you like, that people also find that particular image quality of the time interesting. As opposed to, you know, something which is maybe too perfect these days from quite often a snapshot, even from a smartphone. It's a funny one of the compact cameras, but we still do quite well in that segment.
I mean,
our little Deluxe is
keeps
surprising even the people here, I think, that the demand for it. And I think in the eighth generation now, the current design we did couple of years ago. I think it might have been released a year back, year and a half back, and it's I describe it as the most Leica compact camera we ever did.
Mm.
So we really sort of looked at it and thought, okay, how do we actually bring more of what we're doing in our sort of other core product, Q and so forth, into this little guy, and it's highly appreciated.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely little thing. I have a one camera rule, famously, to listeners of the podcast, so I don't allow myself anything other than my M, because I know that that's a dangerous road to go down. However, the CL or the Deluxe are kind of, sometimes when I waver and it's a digital camera, it's one of those two, because they're so pocketable and versatile. There's a lot that you can do on those. And then on the film side, it would be an M5, which Stefan very diplomatically said was like, it's not our prettiest camera.
No, you would not be in a big group that takes this one as sort of a let's say, I don't know if you describe it as a favorite of the M line. It's the one that stands out the most, because it is the odd one, where things went a bit different, in terms of size and design and so forth. But not surprising that some people are attracted to that. It's interesting.
I do like an underdog, so that's always a thing. But also, to me, it stands out from a design perspective, because it's so bold. It's such a different direction from something that was very safe for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a kind of an interesting question to ask you, because that's a very bold move that I think was rolled back fairly quickly, and
we saw what came after.
It was
very much similar to what came before.
The
M5.
I think the market spoke to them. Their customers spoke to them and said, "No, I'm okay with the one I've got, thanks." Until they revisited it. But you must want to make bold changes occasionally and things like that. But I guess
that's what I spoke about in the beginning. Is this asset that we have with our heritage is so strong, but also one of our biggest challenges for a designer moving forward, because you do want to explore new ways and you do want to be progressive as a particularly, as a younger designer in the team. I'm not speaking about myself anymore, but others in the team, they really want to give it a go and they want to make a statement, and they're conscious they're designing for Leica, for our customers. They're not designing for themselves. So we are designers, we're not artists, but nevertheless they push, and that's our job. And we're very aware that many of the product concepts, the designs we do, may never see light of day. But that's fine. That's part of our job. It's in dialogue with other key stakeholders in the company. It's our job to visualize and to develop product ideas and concepts that they can be taken in the hand and understood, and then decide, is that the right thing for Leica at this point in time, or possibly not.
Yeah.
And whether that's a completely new product concept or just a different design approach, and even a detail might be discussed a lot.
That's where I think that I was talking to someone earlier about the ecosystem of it all, because I have a Sofort 2, but I have the original Sofort as well, which I love.
Right.
But the second one and my M, and use the Lux app.
Not quite one camera then.
Well, no, instant cameras don't count. Instant cameras. I have carved out a thing for myself with instant camera stroke Polaroids. But it's almost the most versatile camera in the lineup, because none of the other ones print. And it is a kind of joyous, playful thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
As well as the more sort of functional thing. And I think it's when you see the ecosystem of things why I said they're in conversation with each other.
Yeah.
Because you have to be very fortunate to kind of have those multiple touch points for it all. And then it all actually makes sense in a lot of ways. If you have one in isolation, it almost doesn't tell you as much.
Yeah. And I think the Sofort's a good example how we managed to do something new and different within the Leica portfolio, but it's still seen as a Leica respected as a Leica. We're talking about a product which is a few hundred euros, a very cheap Leica, also made out of plastic, actually. But nevertheless, the back then there was maybe from some people the expectation, we'll just style it like a Leica. And this would have been completely the wrong thing to do. It's what others do, others do sort of a retro-styled instant camera thing. And I think it was a good strategy then, and following it up with the second generation, and it's now kind of established. And it's, I think, a little bit of progressiveness in the design, but it's part of the family.
Yeah, when I saw the lever on the back, I instantly was like, right. It's tremendous fun.
Yeah.
A huge thank you to Mark for his time spent chatting there, and quite rightly calling me out on my one camera rule, which it's fair to say I do stretch a little bit with the instant cameras. Next up is Ines Fayyad. She is the long-standing editor-in-chief of the LFI magazine, and as you'll hear, they take a very long-term view. He said, well, I don't think it's that unusual. And I said, well, yesterday morning, I got up, I came and I met Peter Carber. Then I had, after lunch, I had a meeting with Dr. Kaufman, and I bumped into people like Stephen Dyer. I met Chris and Jordan from Petapixel.
Mm-hmm.
I caught up with Phil Penman. I then went to a thing where I watched a documentary. I met Sarah Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke to all these people on stage, but the director of the film afterwards, and chatted away. I photographed Jamie Cullum. I was photographed by Jamie Cullum.
Yeah.
And then I hung out in an after party with Aquaman, and then yes. I went home. That's
all
quite,
in one day.
That's a lot for a day. And so I think some of the team have found it a bit funny when I'm just bouncing around like an absolute idiot. Mm-hmm. But it...
Same for me.
But yes, but mm-hmm. it's such a privilege to be here, not just here, but here now
yes.
for this event. Because yes. this is a once-in-a-lifetime...
It is.
There
definitely.
Won't be another one of
it's
these.
It's a century celebration.
Yeah.
We won't have that in
no.
the next 100 years, I'm
no.
pretty sure.
Yeah, well, I put it this way. If there's a 200th celebration, yes. I won't be here for
no,
it.
No, probably
checked.
All of us will go.
Yeah.
We'll be
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Being here now, being yeah. here for this moment in Leica's history and part, you know, in photography's history, because there's not many companies make it this far, and you clearly, it means a lot to you,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, so how do you reflect on being the steward of a magazine that kind of is documenting this incredible photography at this moment, right now?
Okay, well, I think I'm really extremely proud of being part of this journey, of being part of this celebration, of being part of this way to deal with photography, because I think it's a very special approach we have at Leica or at LFI magazine or in the museum, in the galleries, wherever we go. It's not about the not only about the economics, about the cameras, about the technical
yeah.
stuff whatsoever. It's about photography. And mm-hmm. we just had this nice conversation downstairs, and we again reassured ourselves that photography still today is very important, and maybe it's even more important than ever.
Yeah.
Because of all things technically going on, like AI and all that stuff, mm-hmm. it's so powerful and it's so easy to use, but still, it's not real, it's not what we're really looking at, and maybe it might be more important to tell the stories with a photographic eye and with people who know how to deal with photographs, like curators, like journalists, like picture editors,
yeah.
and so on and so forth.
And do you think living through this moment now, something I asked Dr. Kaufman about a little bit as well, does this cause you to pause and reflect as a publication? You know, thinking about the magazine and thinking about it as a publication, are you taking now as a chance to maybe go, right, actually, I'd like to steer it in a slightly different direction? Or do you have a really clear North Star that isn't changing for the magazine?
Well, I think it's always important to be, you know, to be awake and to see what's going on and to see where do we have to change things, where do we have to adapt things, because times are changing and we don't want to be stuck somewhere. But on the other hand, it's more like a reassuring that what we are doing is the right way, you know.
Yeah.
It's we always said a printed Leica magazine is important because people who are really interested in looking at photographs, imagery, they want to have the printed image because it makes a big difference. Of
mm-hmm.
course, we see, and it changed the last, let's say, 20 years. It changed so immensely
yeah.
because of all the social media stuff. And, you know, everybody's going so quickly through everything and spending a fraction of a second for an image.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you, the moment you open up a magazine, you take more time for it. Even more if you open up a book.
Yeah.
And even more if you go to a gallery or a museum. So you deliberately take your time to watch at images, to really dive into, to reflect on it and everything.
Yeah.
And so, of course, in the past, we were always thinking about, okay, do we have to change for a digital version? Do we have to change things because going with time and of course, it's very expensive to use good paper, good printing and all that stuff. Delivery is a horror nowadays because it's so expensive. But then again, we experience that the people we are working for, our crowd, they want to have a well-done printed magazine.
Yes, and I think in Germany you're well placed for that as well. I'm a subscriber to Monocle magazine, for example, and they've always printed so they've taken so much care to print. And I think you're right. The quality of the light and the way that things, the way that you can see an image, just feels a lot more real and tangible.
And you keep it, you know. Yes. It's the difference if you have it on your mobile phone or somewhere. Maybe you collect some of these and you have an extra file whatsoever. But the magazines or the books you put in your shelf and you can pick it up again and you can have a look at it again and you can, you know, take your time and really, really dive into it. So it makes a big difference for me.
Yeah, I like to get a lot of photo books out and sit with them on the ground. Like sometimes when the kids have gone to sleep and we'll put them on the ground. Are you, I'm asking this question almost knowing the answer, but are you a big collector of photo books as well? Or?
Well, I have some at my home too, but it's, you know, it's stuck with books. So I have the fortune to have our library at our publishing house. So we have a big library and all of the photo books. And of course, we're collecting everything that's coming out new.
Yeah.
And sometimes we also collect older books. And we did this Joel Marowitz exhibition now. Yeah. And so we bought a lot of vintage books online.
Yes.
And so I will take them all back to Hamburg to our office.
Yeah, that's lovely. It was something Peter Carber talked about yesterday, is the treat of working in a business as well, where you can use the thing you make. His example was, if you make tanks, you can't take them home. But he can borrow a lens and he can play with it. It's the same with the books, I guess.
Exactly. With the books and with the magazines. And of course, we have the big print archive here for all the pictures we're producing.
Yeah.
So all the exhibitions we're producing on our own, we keep them in our archive. And so we have an always growing archive of printed images of the great Leica photographers.
Yeah. Do you have a perspective on trying to bring people in? Because one of the things about Leica is the tenure. People are here for a long time and they stay. And it's very clear that a lot of people have been here for a long time and want to be here. But how do you think about bringing people in and nurturing that next generation and passing the flame on, as we were talking about last night?
Yeah.
You know, passing that on to new people and getting them to see it.
Yes, we have different ways to do this. For LFI magazine, we are always spotting talents. So our picture editors and editors are everywhere. You know, they're very well connected in the scene and they go to festivals and everything. Okay. We go to festivals. And of course, if I see a work by a photographer I like, you know, and I think, okay, this looks great and it could fit. Not every work is fitting for Leica photography because it has its own philosophy, its own way of imagery or aesthetics. So we spot these guys or girls, and sometimes we connect with them and we try to find a way maybe to make a loan, a Leica loan. And so they start working on Leica, and then we keep on connecting again and again, and we put them in our network and slowly we make them interested. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's okay, that's the way it goes. And some of them really, they stay with Leica after maybe a couple of years or maybe after 10 years or whatsoever. This is the one point. The second point is we have the Loba Leica Oscar Barnack Award. And of course, this is an open award, so everybody is, every work is accepted as long as it's good enough. You know, it's a nominated process. But there are a lot of very, very young photographers, especially in the recent years. So these people, if they get finalists or even winners, they become part of the Leica family. So they are invited to the exhibition. We have a catalog. And the exhibition sometimes travels to festivals or galleries or whatsoever. And so they come becoming part of the family, and some of them stay. So, and these are the younger people, you know. So this is a way to really open it up. And it's no secret, Leica cameras are very expensive. And so for a lot of younger people, it's very difficult to afford it. But at least if you get them interested and in the crowd, you know, and making them feel that it's more about a community and connecting and exchanging and communication and everything, it's not just business, then it's for them, it's very good to be part of this crowd.
And I think you're exposing yourself to an audience of people who clearly really care about the medium.
Exactly.
One of the things I've found in making this, and I get teased by listeners a little bit for being an accidental Leica podcast.
Ah, okay.
But I'm an M shooter, so okay. That's why, partly. Yeah. And also Leica people tend to be excited and say yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that they don't actually often care what they're using quite often. They're just interested in making an image. It just so happens they prefer that tool.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not all mad. Like, you know, it's a remarkable thing to be able to use.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great to expose them, I think, to a passionate crowd of people that they can learn from.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go for
and it. It's you know, it's like you experienced here yesterday in the evening. It's a just, you know, normal people, very famous people, rich people, business people. So it's a pretty big mix.
Yes.
But still, everybody's talking to each other because we are the Leica community. So yeah. It's not important who you are as long as you're interested in photography or cameras or whatsoever. And I think this is a really extremely important part with the LFI magazine too, because we have this online gallery since I think 17 years now or something like this. And so people are so proud to being recognized by getting a master shot or being selected for the selection part or whatever, that it's we always feel it's, of course, most of them are amateur photographers, so they are not professional, but they're doing really, really very well. And there's so much into it, and it's important to be recognized. Somebody's telling you, yes, this is a good picture, well done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, again, the community, you know? It's exchanging, talking with people, talking about our love for photography.
Yeah, two of my images have been selected in the past, both of my kids.
Congratulations.
It made my year. Like, I was so excited. I have a little journal app that I use on my phone to look back on what happened. And the day that happened, I just wrote a journal entry with the screenshots.
Perfect.
Of it. And I was like, this is a big deal.
Super.
And because it felt amazing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then friends saw it as well, and they go, oh, that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm.
And again, you have, you know, you start talking about it.
Yes.
So then you talk, oh, this is my shot. And did I show you my shot? And
yes.
What do you think? And da da da. And it's more like, you know, on social media, you usually get just a well done or super or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's like this and it's gone. Mm. And if you start this kind of conversation, you're really talking about images. And that's what we need.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think all of this work is in conversation with other
work,
which you must see, I guess, on your pages as well. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much volume of photography now.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many images are made around us. Does that make your job as a curator of something, trying to sort of create a magazine that has maybe a theme running through it, or at least something that connects the different things, does that make it easier or harder? Because I'd imagine the volume might make it more difficult to produce, because there's just so much you could choose from.
Yeah, but I think it's because, you know, in the LFI magazine for the five big portfolios we're doing in each issue, we're limited to Leica photography. Mm. So that makes it a lot easier, you know. Mm. And then, of course, we have like, I don't know how many stories on our server, which we didn't use yet, because we always try to, it's a kind of a curational work as well when we do the magazine. We think sometimes we have stories we know, okay, there's a big exhibition somewhere, so we have to use this one for this issue because it's, you know, so. But mostly we think, like, we start to think about, okay, we want to have a good reportage. We want to have a good, like, more street photography or portrait or art or whatsoever, and one classic. So that's the way we start, and then we try to mix, to make a good mix. To really have the whole broad vision of photography in there. And so sometimes it really goes quickly, and we choose quickly from this huge amount of images we receive. And sometimes a portfolio stays or a story stays for like 3 years or 4 years. Right. And then suddenly it fits in, you know.
Right.
Then it's a perfect mix.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it's a lot. And sometimes
to hear more from Innes, you'll have to tune in for week 3 next Wednesday. Thanks for listening to week 2. I hope you've enjoyed these conversations. I think it's fairly rare to get this kind of access to these sorts of people for this amount of time. If you're enjoying the episodes, please do share them with friends and let me know on socials. The more folks I can get on board, the more likely I am to get this kind of access to people again and to be able to talk to them about all sorts of things. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.